Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Maples, a.k.a. J. Mapes, here. As always, my two bros, Kings, what's popping?
We good, man. My team's caught the L this weekend, but we keep it pushing, man.
Oh, man. Jordan, what's popping, my guy?
You here. We live. Let's go.
All right, man. Before we bring in the guest on, last week, no show. That was my fault. I kept pushing it back, and it was midweek, and I was like, I just can't do it. So that's on me. I got like 5 tweets over the week. No episode this week, so that was on me. That's not on the other two. That was on me. So I eat that. Y'all get mad at me. Very, very special guest, friend of the pod. Show is always lit when he's on. You guys throw him on the timeline. Teflon Reek. Reek, what is going on? My man asked to be here. I know it's about to go down. What's popping, my guy?
Yo. We might as well just we can start, man.
Oh, yeah, I know you're ready to rock. Before we get into the main thing, the reason why you came out here, new CBA details leaked. Got to get into that. I feel like everybody who's here tonight has some opinions about it either way, so we definitely going to hash that out. Just the major points before I just let you guys take it away and we get into it. Big thing. They added a second salary cap apron, another luxury tax, essentially at $17.5 million. Teams who crossed that no longer have access to the mid-level exception, or aren't eligible for buyout players. For reference, the Warriors would not have been able to sign Dante DiVincenzo if that rule was under play this season. So definitely a big situation there. Number two. Games played minimum for postseason awards was bumped to 65. First time it's been input. Definitely that was a talking point. Three, positionless all-NBA teams. Four, in-season tournament. It will be part of the regular season. I think the winner, the teams who advance to the championship have to play one extra game. So that's how that will work. The upper limits of contract extensions have gone from 120% to 140%. I believe if you stay with your current team and sign early. So shout out Rick and Jaylen Brown. Celtics can pay him a lot more than anybody else can. And you get one more two-way slot. That is the actual basketball roster construction stuff. On the other side of that, players can now invest in WNBA and NBA teams as active parts of the NBA. You can invest in gambling, in gambling sites, and you no longer get tested for weed. So that is the big things with the CBA. A lot of information to digest. Go around the horn. What you like, what you didn't like. Reek, we'll start with you. You're the guest. Talk to us.
At first, I was like tweaking about the money and all that, but I'm like, if they don't care, I don't care. So, but my biggest beef with it was the All-NBA teams. Like, bro, you messing up. Like, you changing history. You changing, like, playing people money. Like, there's certain players, like, no matter what they do now, they never make All-NBA. Like, that's just a wrap for that. I wasn't defending the 65 games minimum, because it's like, now you're going to have dudes just doing the most heinous stuff now just to make sure they play, like, a game. Like, you said we had a last year, Drew checked in, got the jump on, and got out, like, just to get him, just, like, get his money. Like, you got players, like, this year's first team going to be, three forwards, and then we got the guards. But, like, in the future, unless, like, Jokic them just slow down now, the whole first team can be forwards and two bigs now. Like, you got it to where dudes like Bam, Fox, like, they're never sniffing the All-NBA if they going to have it this way, bro. You know what I'm saying? And then when we get into these player things, like, if Bam want that next big contract, the Supermax one, he's not making all NBA over 9 guards, and it's already, you know what I'm saying? Like, we gotta keep, like, I don't want to gatekeep certain stuff, but some stuff you gotta gatekeep, bro. Especially now, all defensive teams gonna be, the whole first team gonna be all centers. Like, it's just certain stuff.
The owners were very meticulous with how they put this together. Like, you can see in the setup about how, like, the stuff you said, they definitely had in mind. Like, there's only a certain amount of guys who are gonna hit that mark now.
But you mentioned enough the way we, like, the league was actually getting fun. Like, the game's been fire since All-Star break. We was, like looking at stuff a different way. But now you got dudes like Herb Jones, who probably should be first team all defense this year. Next year, he's going to have a crazy season to get that snap. Like, dudes wear on their jacket, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get, like, a first team with, like, Giannis, Brook, Bam, JJJ. Like, it's just you can't do stuff that way, bro. It's like, if a dude gets outplayed, he got outplayed. You know what I'm saying? Right. He's not like fake awards, but at some point you gotta draw a line with it, bro. Like, you changing a whole lot of stuff. Like, imagine you would have had like a KG, Duncan, Shea, Paul Gasol first team, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just not that's not it, bro. Like,
your big thing was the positions, basically.
Yeah, okay. That's why they made on me in the first place, so you know who's top at the position. You know what I'm saying? Huh.
I didn't think about it that way. That's interesting. Jordan, what'd you like? What didn't you like?
First of all, Bam Adebayo is not making an All NBA team, regardless. it don't matter. They could do all center team. You probably won't make it. but. My biggest thing was the in-season tournament, dude. Like, nobody wants this. Nobody has ever asked for this. And this is, like, something that they're, like, adamant on doing. Like, this takes away from what the postseason is, right? And I can't imagine that teams are actually going to take this mid-season tournament series, especially if you have to play an extra game. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I don't know if I was clear with that. It's part of the regular season.
Yeah.
It's part of the regular season.
Right, but they're, the two championship teams are going to play an extra game more –
one right, right, right. Okay.
Else, you know, and like I can't imagine teams are just like gearing up for this mid-season tournament. You know what I mean? Like, I have a feeling this probably lasts one time and then they never do it again. It just doesn't make any sense, dude. Like, what's the point of it?
It's biggest for teams. I saw Kings talk about this. Heard Kings talk about this before. It's big in soccer, right? The little mid-season things they do. So yeah,
I'm see like league to league there. Though they like play interleague and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, this okay.
NBA. Like, I get it if they go get like EuroLeague teams and CBA teams or whatever. Like, that would be interesting. But it's like, it's still NBA teams. So like, what's the point of the postseason if you have a midseason tournament? Why do we have two tournaments?
I think it's cool for teams who not going like you got like the Rockets and all them. We might get like a Rockets versus Pacers game, like. Cause I headed to playing, and playing been fire, so I'm gonna just have to just get a bit of the doubt until it don't work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and to speak to that, like let's have a tournament for the number one pick. Then, you know what I mean? Get the bad teams in a tournament, and the winner gets the first overall pick.
Like, that's a good idea.
Me and King suggested that like 2 years ago on this pod.
Yeah, but like Maple said, though, these owners are never doing that though. Ever.
Yeah.
never
doing that.
Yeah. But okay, Kings, what did you like? What didn't you like?
I thought the investing thing was kind of cool. It's kind of a, you know, if you know investing, you know, it's kind of rocky. It gives the owners way to capitalize on their ownership of the team by selling it to players. But, I mean, with any investment, there's always a risk. But with the player plays it right, they could see returns on their investment. So it's good. It's a gamble like all things, but I think it's a good way to at least give opportunity for ownership for the players. Also stimulate funding into WNBA now that NBA players can have direct influence with that. Obviously, they have more money. People talk about redistributing funds. I mean, the way investing works, it's not a direct redistribution, but it's something that will definitely help in terms of promoting capital and having capital flow into the WNBA, which is obviously we know that's needed. I like the early season tournament because I think they're trying to create buzz. 500, like I keep telling people, bro, I don't understand why people who don't make six figures in a year are telling me 500,000 doesn't mean anything, bro. You can't tell any You cannot tell any millionaire that a 500,000 does not matter. They'll laugh in your face, bro. Like that's not a thing. Like that is literally not a thing. So 500,000 matters a lot. I do get the point of the extra game. It's maybe certain teams aren't gearing to do that, but honestly, look at where they put it. Beginning of the year. Beginning of the year is usually the worst in the NBA when it comes to engagement, when it comes to, you know, fans watching. But now fans have something to talk about. Like, just talking about the plan. Like, we used to talk about tanking all the time in the NBA around this time of year. Who's going to tank for who? Who's going to tank for who? Now we talk about, oh, who's making the play-in? Who's going to go on the play-in run? Which young team is going to pop or look good for the future and try and make the playoffs? Like, the play-in has totally changed how we talk about hoops at the end of the year. Because, you know what I mean, it's made the young teams that you may think are not ready for a playoff run, it's giving them something to play for, as opposed to just saying, oh, we're not going to make the playoffs, let's just mail it home. Or how about the vets who are like, you know, we just want a shot, instead of them saying, oh, we have no shot, we're going to tank. It's like, hey, let's get healthy, let's go on, let's get in the plan, let's see if we can go on a run. I mean, that was the whole Lakers mindset, right? All right, if there was no plan, you probably look at the Lakers like, oh, they might shut it down early. But it's like, there's a play-in, so it's like, hey, we just gotta get into the play-in and we have a chance. So it's like, change the whole conversation. So I think, right, with the early season tournament, it'll be like Reek said, a lot of teams that maybe, you know, it's like, we may not win, we may not go to a playoffs, we may not win a playoff series or whatever, but it's like, hey, we can win this early season tournament, build some buzz and get some money. Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean, like, it's just not, I don't see any real downside other than the teams doing it, playing another game. And it's like, it's going to generate, but how effective, we'll see. Right. I don't think it's really that bad. But then another thing that I thought was, but one of the things I thought was bad though, man, that the owners, I think they all colluded. I think, you know, people, Warriors fans are like, oh, they messed up the Warriors. Honestly, their owners have no problem with that. Bro, they're a luxury tax bill, and they're like, please help us out, bro. I'm not trying to pay these guys no more. And it's like, bro, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's sad because it's like, I told people this for years, bro. I told everybody for years. They didn't believe me. I said, every team does not want to win. Can we stop the myth? I told people for years, every team does not want to win. If you can get to the playoffs, you can sell tickets, if you can give fans hope and you can make money, it doesn't matter if you win a chip or not. You accomplished your goal. You made money. That was it. So not every team wants to win. And all this talk about, oh, mid-teams getting a chance to spend more, they're not going to spend more. They weren't trying to spend anyways. So why are they going to spend more? If they weren't spending more, why would they spend now? It doesn't make any sense. They're not spending because they didn't want to, and they're not going to. So, you know, it's like, bro, like, the only way NBA can really fix that cap problem is to go no cap. But then it comes to the fans, they're like, well, we don't, you know, we want parity, we want this team to win. But, bro, if your owner doesn't want to pay to compete, that's on y'all. That's how I look at it. But, you know, NBA trying to safeguard, you know, a part of me too thinks that they heard word of the Abu Dhabi and Abu Dhabi and the Qatar come in. Throw the oil money around. I mean, you talk about, look, if you look at the net worth of the owners, like from Mark Davis and everybody, they're like in the small bins. These Arab folk, they got tens of billions in actual liquid cash, like coming to drop it off, and they will buy rings. Like they are known for buying chips, and you know, the politics, the ego, you know, a lot of the owners they're not letting that happen. So it's like a lot of these rules were just to safeguard in place in case some big spender come in. It's like, man, I'll pay for whoever. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but the big thing is, like, you can still do it. It just got a little more punitive, and you can't, like, stop. But the MLE thing is a big hit to me, though. Yeah, like that used to be a big loophole to add a solid piece of talent to your team if you were over the cap. I liked the. To me, I'm not going to say I like the games played minimum. It became a necessary evil because the amount of games that these guys miss. So, you know, that's how I looked at it. Also thought that, you know, I understand the TV thing. Kings brought that to my attention. I understand it. But to say you have to play 65 games and the players don't respond with, okay, you got to take back-to-backs out, you know what I mean? Like, that's You know, that gets tricky with me because you're not even supposed to be playing back-to-backs of sports science is against it, but the NBA still schedules it because they want the season to be completed in a certain window. I think that's a, you know, kind of working against
it. Feels like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is what it is. I like positionless All-NBA teams. Well, the five best guys were centers, and, you know, five, then that's it. Five best guys were guards, that's it. I think it'll, you know, down the road give us a kind of a screenshot of what kind of era that was. Was that a big man era? Was that a guard era? Was that a wing era? So I think down the road we can see, like, how the NBA was moving based on the All-NBA team. That's kind of how I took it. Other than that, in-season tournament, I'm in wait-and-see mode. Now that I found that I was part of the regular season, I get it a little bit. So, like, okay, you weave it into the regular season and not just going to pause it and fly every team out to Vegas. Like, okay, that's cool. It's not going to disrupt the season. Yeah, man, I'm everything else I was waiting to see, but the putting a cap on teams who really want to spend and win, I thought that was just tacky to me. It's really just, you know, a handful of teams that want to win. You know, Draymond was pissed because that probably damn near ended his tenure in Golden State. you saw he was on the timeline going crazy. I think that pretty much ended his tenure.
That, you, like, saw all the CJ memes about that.
Oh yeah, I know. That was I'm not gonna say the players, I think the fans maybe took a hit a little bit with that. Fans who really invest in their teams emotionally and buy season tickets, want to support a winner in their city or wherever they are, I think they took a hit with the second salary cap apron. And it's weird to me. I mean, the market means a lot, but, like, Joe Lacob is like the 18th richest owner. You know what I mean? So it's like Kings have said it all the time. None of these guys are hurting for money. Yeah. I don't care what they say, what woe is me story about their team. Not one of these owners is pining for money. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the frustrating part about it. Just, like, it feels like it's a cap on player earning. And I think that's what, you know, but, you know, they get to smoke weed. We're all doing that anyway. That's cap.
If I already said it best, Kuzma, like, where do I sign?
Bro, like, when it really comes down to it, bro, you got so many players. Like, you think Quickly even knows who the president of the CBA is, bro? Like,
we can't be dying. Hey, so I got a question about this. So I was doing research about this. I dug deep into it. It said the players really pushed the owners. The biggest issue that the owners would not budge on, the players tried to eliminate that 19-year-old rule they wanted to bring back out of high school to the pros. The NBA was like a hard no. The owners would not budge. Like, that was one of the issues they were not moving on. How do you guys feel about that?
What? I don't understand why not.
Did you not see what happened with Memphis?
They invested a gang of money in the G League Ignite too. It's
Josh Primo, all those Josh Primo type stories, man. Miles Bridges type stories, man.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's like, dude, if at 18, if you can go fight a war, like, you should be able to play.
Hello.
We get the principle of it, but you're asking why the owner said no. I'm telling you why they said no.
Also, as a GM too, though, bro, it would be scary because, like, a lot of dudes do be needing that 1 year of college or 1 year of whatever. Like, because let's say you want to draft, draft Kings first overall. Him dominating in Long Beach, that's not going to hit the same as him beating UConn. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, a lot of dudes do need, like, I get people want to come out straight. But that's a big risk, bro, to go from guarding a junior varsity dude who never gonna go pro versus, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
But you have to.
It's also the NBA is super invested into the G League too, the G League Ignite, you know, yeah. So that they want to market that as much as possible. So just from a business standpoint and the maturity stuff, like you guys said, I think it all they were not budging on that.
That brings up a question I want to ask you guys, because March Madness is one of the most watched events in the country, right? At this point, it's like, don't you think it's better to go the college route than go to the G League at night? Because not only are you playing against top level competition, but you're also, you have this opportunity to build a brand, especially with NIL money now too.
Yeah,
now, I mean, with the NIL, I agree. Before the NIL, I was like, nah, you twist the ankle, get hurt, you never know what gap. But now with NIL, I'm with you on that now.
It's both ways though, because you got some dudes. Like GD, they let you rock out over there. You can do whatever you want, like just show up. If you go to school, you got dudes like Maxie put in the draft because he couldn't rock. Sadiq Bey put in the draft, he couldn't rock. Like a lot of dudes, when you go to school, you don't get to just have the freedom. You, like Shea, hella dudes. Oh, like, man. At this point now, bro, it's really about what you want to do. Because if you a 6'8 point guard, G League, and do whatever you want to do. Nobody care about the splits down there, nothing. Nobody watch G League games. Sorry, G League. Nobody watching those games. But if you go to, like a Nick Smith dude, Arkansas, he was garbage this year. Everybody watched him. He couldn't rock out, do his thing. So he might go like ninth now. You might get like a Brandon Boston situation. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those, like, you got to just trust your gut for real. Because you can really, you can screw your whole career over. Like, Brandon Boston, if he went G League, he would probably win third overall, play for Spurs, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But now he's stuck on, he the Clippers still? Like, G League team or something? Like, he was the top three recruit.
He gets pulled back and forth from G League.
Exactly. So it's really one of those, like, I get what you're saying, but it's really one of those, like, you got to just, it's a flip a coin for real. Do you want to go somewhere with structure and be the guy? Because, like, even like we just had Kansas play, and Grady Dick, the best freshman on the team, he's going to be a top 10 pick. He was like they fifth, like, most touches in March Madness. Like, it's all about where you go for real. So, you know, I don't think it.
I think it's part of the cons. I think the college ball can teach you how to play within a system, a scheme. So you can teach you more team oriented. I think G League though exposes you to the NBA talent because you're playing other professionals and you're playing in the NBA adjacent structure that I think is beneficial for certain guys. So it's really like it really just depends. But honestly, if you think about it though, think about the way things are structured. How much money is in the NCAA? How much money is in even high school sports? Because if you look at the structure, like, you know, overseas, a lot of the G League aligned leagues, the development leagues, they get the kids in high school. Yep. So there's no high school sports. It's the G League. The G League is high school. But you can't do that in the U.S. because it's too much money in high school sports. It's too much money in NCAA. So when you see these age restrictions, it's not even just the fact that, you know, it's like, oh, we need you to mature. It's also the fact that it's like, bro, we need some people in the NCAA, bro. We need a March Madness to be good. You know what I mean? It's like we need high schoolers to go to Sierra Canyon. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need people to come. We don't want them going to the G League and trying to go straight to a pro pipeline from like age 13 because they're a prodigy. We want the guys here so we can make money. So it's like they try to protect everyone's money with these type of rules. Right.
I think at the end of the day, though, NCAA, like, it could have nobodies in there. People are still going to watch because the brand – people are attracted to the brand. Yeah, schools like Reek's wearing a Kentucky shirt right here, right?
Like the women's March Madness tournament did better numbers in the NBA the last month.
Yeah, people are more attracted to the brand of college basketball at the end of the day. And that's my opinion. I don't know if that's actual fact or not.
No, I know what you mean, though. But it's one of those things also. You can make a name for yourself, though. Like, what's the little dude from Kansas State? He might not go league, but I didn't know who he was 6 months ago. You know what I'm saying? Curry now he got a
pizza commercial. Steph, the biggest. You know what I mean? Steph did it.
Yeah, Steph. Like, it's right. All type of, like, Buddy Hill was a household name. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's just, plus that, I promise you, bro, that visit to a college campus, when most of these dudes be from little ass towns anyway, they go on the Duke and all that, that's way more. It's like you can't beat that to go into the Ignite team. It's just a whole nother ball game for real.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on. Let me get my popcorn ready.
God.
Bucks Celtics. So I'm just going to drop the information. Y'all, I'm going to let y'all. I know it's two, a Celtic fan and a Bucks fan here. I'm going to let y'all rock. So Christmas Day, no Middleton. Celtics win 139-118. On Valentine's Day, Celtics sit everybody before the All-Star break. Milwaukee, they take Milwaukee to OT anyway, 131-125. 330 on March 30th. Celtics win by 41. Everybody's there. I gotta ask. I'm gonna let you two rock. I'm always leaning the Celtics are the slightly better team. Kings and Jordan, you guys felt like the Bucks have closed the gap and possibly, you know, will win. I'm still leaning. I hope you guys are right, but I'm still leaning Celtics. It's the matchup. It just feels real wonky to me every time I look. Like, not being funny. The gap between Giannis and the next guy I would take on the Bucks roster before a Celtic is just it's a lot to me. And then I just the athleticism is kind of glaring, and they found a way to make basketball really hard for Giannis. They make him so below his normal efficiency, and I think that's been a consistent thing. So I got to give them kudos there. But just where are you on that now? I'll start with Reek, and then Jordan, you rebuttal, and then y'all can go at it. Reek, talk to me about that's just why you wanted to be here, man. Let me know. Talk to me.
All right, bruh. So Jordan, you ain't know me yet though. But last year I told them like nothing they could do with the Celtics. Not funny. Nothing ain't doing us. It took us seven though. But when we break down that seven, but I'll get past that though. We go to this season, like you said, smoked them the first game. OT smoked him again. All right, I'm about to read you these numbers, right? This Brook Lopez last 10 versus us. So the seven-game series, and then this three this year. He averaged 9, 6, and 1 block. Ooh. The splits, where the splits at? On 50, 10% from three. 10. He's a minus 9 in the last 10 games. He was a plus one time, plus 5. The matchup is bad, bro. Like, Drew Holiday is an ox. He's a do-everything point guard, 6'4", all that. Doesn't matter. Marcus Smart is also 6'4", 220. Brogdon, 6'5", 220. Tatum, Jaylen, tall. So he be out. I'm not going to even Google his numbers. Y'all know what it look like. Giannis is an animal, all-time, whatever. He still has to do everything. The reason why the Drew Milton thing was so big is they all, like, Giannis eat, everybody, you know, do their thing. They can't score the basketball, bro. Against our lineups, like, there's no mismatches. Like, you play Bobby Portis, cool, play Rob. Like, you got Bruby, got Al. And it's like, we've been doing this whole, who's going to guard Giannis? Who's going to guard the Jays, bro? Like, we've been over this for mad long. They had they combined for 70 on last game and on Christmas. Then I heard, like, oh, we got Jay Crowder, we got Ingles. Like, bro, this is Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine me saying, like, oh, I got JaVale McGee for Giannis. Like, bro, no, man. He's all NBA players. You can't tell me Jay Crowder, Ingles, Wes Matthews, Grayson Allen. Like, when you say it out loud, it's like, oh, yeah, that is kind of crazy to say. Like, that's kind of crazy. So, Middleton, all them. But, like, bro, we didn't see Giannis twice. We played in B, KD, Kyrie, Jimmy. Like, why would I worry about Chris Middleton, fam? Like, this is a different thing. Like, there's the only advantage that the Bucks have is they won before, which is real. We saw that last year. Giannis is all time. And they all got a crazy motor. But, like, basketball-wise, like, no, bro. Like, I don't – there's no way – Game 6, smoked them. Game 7, smoked them. This year, like, it's just not even, like, a – it's not a thing. And like you said, we don't see him make Giannis look like a human being. And our big is 40 years old. Another one can barely walk sometimes. Like, this is a bad matchup. It's the only matchup in the league where Giannis, like, he got to guard one of them, bro. That's what he would have come down to. Like, he usually get the roam while Brook do his thing. But I'll take Brook out the paint. So now Giannis like having to do everybody's job. Like, it's not realistic, bro. Drew, a great defender, but he's 6'4". Middleton, great. He a good defender too when he got to get in that bag, but he also got to score for them now. He can't do. You know what I'm saying? It's just way too many cooks in the kitchen for them, bro. Like, I don't know how they going. I never saw the advantage they had over us anyway, but this year got like Jalen Tatum taking another step again. It's like, I have no idea how they post like run a zone. Like, ooh. I don't know.
Jordan, you have the floor, sir.
I mean, you know, I've been pretty consistent saying like I thought the Celtics were the best team in the East all year. But, you know, first of all, like they lose by 41. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. But, I mean, it was a second game of back-to-back. And at the end of the day, it's a game in March. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a playoff game. A lot of things are going to be different. But one thing that Reek said that I agree with is, you know, Giannis's strength on defense is being a weak side help defender. He's going to have to guard Tatum for stretches in a series, dude. Like he's gonna have to do it, and he's gonna have to sacrifice that like he did in the Brooklyn Nets series when he put Giannis on KD in game 6 and 7. He's gonna have to do the same thing there. Like, that's gonna be their only chance, because you can't rely on Jay Crowder and Wes Matthews to guard one of those guys all game. And Chris Middleton, he is a Celtics killer, by the way. His career versus Celtics, I mean, he puts up big numbers. So I'm not too concerned with him. My biggest concern with Chris Middleton is, like, he's just been hella inconsistent during the regular season. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like, the travel, the back-to-backs and stuff like that. I think a lot when you're in the playoffs, you have one day off at minimum, right, between games. So I think that's going to benefit him and that team a little bit more, because the Bucks are an older team compared to the Celtics. You know, I know Horford's older, but aside from that, everybody on the Bucks is older. And, like, I do think Brook Lopez is a terrible matchup for the Celtics. Like, he's going to get played off the floor a lot, probably. But that's why I think it's big that Giannis is a one-on-one defender against Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Now, I'm not saying this with a ton of confidence that I think the Bucks can beat the Celtics, but, I mean, at the end of the day, if I got 34, like, I'm still taking the Bucks until they prove otherwise. I mean, they're the two best teams in the league, hands down, in my opinion, though. And I don't think there's a debate about that.
Kings, chime in here.
The same all year, man. Bro, go Bucks, go. That's what I've been saying all year, man. Don't care what the Celtics do. Honestly, I don't. I don't care, you know, what the people in the East do. The fact of the matter is this. Chris Middleton was there last year. The Bucks are going back to the finals. He's, like Jordan has said, he is a Celtics killer. That's his reputation. His reputation for the longest before that last playoff run was that he doesn't play good against anybody in the playoffs except the Boston Celtics. That was literally Chris, Chris Middleton's whole reputation before the championship run. So in any other case, where it happened against any other team and it went 7 like that, I could see them saying, well, we got better. Chris Middleton isn't that good. It doesn't matter that much. But against Boston, with the history, I don't think you can say that. I don't think you can say that. But with that said, Reek is right. They do make Giannis work the most out of any team. They have a lot of good, switchy, long defenders who are tough in the inside, Tatum included. They shoot the ball really well, which, you know, you see with the Lakers, with how Bam defends, is the butchery, live by the numbers. But if you live by numbers, you can die by the numbers. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you see, like, the last time the Celtics played, like, if you giving up shots to guys who can hit the shots, they'll catch fire. And if you're just banking on them missing a good look, if you're just banking on missing a good look all the time because numerically they're supposed to miss at some point, you're playing with fire if you're doing that, right? Like, because what if the guy feels like he can't miss and he doesn't miss? Then you got what Al Horford did in one of the playoff games, right? Last year. It's like, you gotta be careful with that type of defense. And that's why people who feel strong about the Celtics, I don't blame them for feeling strong about the Celtics based off what they've done, based off the history, based on how the Milwaukee defends. But me personally, I think Milwaukee will win that series. I think Chris Middleton is the X factor in that series.
I rock with it. I just like one of those things, bro. They got like 7 players who have no business. Like, no business being in the court with us, dog. Like, after Giannis, Drew's numbers is whatever. He got obviously playing great defender. Middleton get his shot off. But, like, you can't tell me, like, what they got, like, these Javon Carter, Wes Matthews, Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton. Like, bro, these names don't even make sense, bro. What got going on, man?
Indeed.
That's why I give Giannis his respect, though, too, because, like, I'm looking at this team, bro. Like, all we got to do is, like, guard Giannis one-on-one, don't help off, and that's it. Like, Giannis, the way he built, he's not going for 80, bro. He trying to get everybody involved, do his thing, get, like, 35, 15. Bro, these other dudes just aren't nice. Like, after their big three, like, they're just – like, Grayson Allen is their starting two guard, bro. Like, he just – that's not going to – there's no team in the NBA should be doing that, fam. Like, let alone the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks team with a champion and Giannis. So it's like, I don't know. And then, all right, these one more stat for y'all. So the last 10, like, so that series and the three games this year, we're making 17 threes a game against them, bro.
And yeah, they got to switch up that drop,
bro. Like, either they play the drop.
That's too much to overcome.
Like, they play the drop, and we got two of the best pull-up wings in the league. Or if they decide to switch everything, there's no chance. Like, after Giannis and Drew, they can't guard us, bro. Like, it's one of those things. Like, it's one of those things. Like, if they beat us, you give Giannis an extra star on this jacket, bro. That's all it is. Like, there's no like math to it. It's just a terrible matchup. Like, from start to finish, it's not a good matchup for him.
I don't even think it goes seven this year if they play. Like, that's where I'm at with the – I don't think it's going seven this year if they play. I'm not going to say, like, five or sweep, but I don't think it's going seven if they play again this year.
You're crazy, bro.
I just got to see it, bro. I got to see it.
I actually agree. Honestly, I think the winner wins in six. Like, that's really my process. I don't think this is going to seven games. I think the winner wins in six games. I think, though – the role players for the Bucks, if you look at them, the Ingles, the Crowders, physical guys like Jay Crowder, physical guys like Javon Carter, Wes Matthews, 3-and-D guys. It's a LeBron formula, what they're trying to do with Giannis, right? These guys are not good on their own, quite frankly. But they play off of an amazing gravity, off an amazing player who cannot be stopped getting to the rim. Same LeBron formula you've seen. So it's like Reek said, how did the Warriors counteract it? Well, we can't let these bums get off. So LeBron, if you score 70 points and win the game, congratulations. But it's like, we're not go leave these guys open so you can get easy looks because they can't do anything on their own. It's kind of the same way the Celtics is trying to guard Giannis. So Giannis is going to have to be creative. The thing was, you know, is Giannis – I don't think Giannis is good enough playmaking to get creative to force guys the looks and to get them in their spots. He's not that level of a playmaker, but is he more dominant inside to where he will force people to come inside more because he's longer than LeBron was and he's more of a physically imposing threat in terms of just more willing to go into the paint consistently, whereas LeBron was. You can sometimes bait him into selling for the jumper, whereas Giannis is trying to force his way to the paint every time. So, you know, that could be the offset. But, you know, I think in the series, it's going to be slower. So all these guys on the Bucks, they're gonna be able to play because in a slow-down style like the Bucks play, that's when those role players can play. Like the Javon Carters, the Jay Crowders, they like the physical, slow pace, and that's what's going to happen in the playoff series. It's going to be physical. It's going to be slow. But I think the Celtics have guys, though, that are – like that type of style, too. Rob Williams likes it. You know, Grant Williams likes it based off, you know, the way he's built, as some of the fans like to talk about. you know,
that guy.
Tatum's not scared of the contact. Jaylen Brown is willing to scrap. You know how Marcus Smart is. So they're willing to get physical, too, though. But it's like it's going to, you know – The Bucks role players will be fit for that series because it will be slow. But I am concerned with that drop. They're gonna give open threes, and man, it'll be hard because it's like, you know, Brook has been so valuable to the run, to this era of the Bucks. But you have to be willing to pull him when it's time to pull him. And you know, the good thing is that they have Portis too. Like he you know, I mean he. He's a little bit more mobile, but, you know, I mean, it's just having different guys you can throw different looks. Porter is also a great rebounder, so you don't lose any rebounding ability trying to throw him in there instead of Brook Lopez. But it's just Bud's going to have to really coach, man. He's going to really have to coach. He's going to have to adjust. He's really going to have to find the right lineups, the right tuning. He's going to have to show his evolution as a coach. I think that's just what it is.
Ooh. Moving on.
Yeah, I'm not going to read off his last 10 splits either.
Yeah. Moving on. Reek, I'm glad you're here, man. Let's talk some BI, bro.
Man.
Honestly, if you look at me and Reek, we're on the same page. We just react to what we see differently. Since February, BI's at 28, 6, and 5 on 51, 40, 88. Best career of his life.
How many assists? Five?
Six assists, five
points.
Yes.
So he can score and pass. Okay. Just checking.
Right. Bells have won 7 of 8. Right there in the mix with the Clippers, Lakers, and Warriors trying to get out of the play-in. He's been the foundation of that. Reek is known for holding Brandon Ingram extremely accountable for those games he has. And we just spun on differently. I had the whole little Brandon Ingram, you know, stand account hive mad at me because I was like, dude, this 23-5-5 is not enough. Based on what Zion out, you got to empty the clip, bro. They talk about now you turning on me. I was like, no. It's the expectations when you that guy, you can't be no 23-5-5 guy with Zion being out the lineup forever. He's hitting that now. We'll see how the season ends. A whole week of big basketball. If they got a couple possibly tough games, schedules are reading harder than they are because teams are going to start sitting down that they're locked in. Memphis are pretty much locked in the two. They're not going to play guys on back to backs. The Memphis is pretty locked into Sac is locked into three pretty much. They're not going to play guys on back to backs, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But Reek, talk to me. You finally tweeted me. Was like, this is what I need to see from him. Go ahead, keep it bro, there.
So I thought Ingram was like he could average like 25-6 one day, whatever. But then after I saw the Suns series, I'm like, bro, like, they should have won that series if CJ helped them. I wasn't record saying that.
Like, they should have won that series. That was a 65-1 team. You said CJ played like a human being?
Yeah, they would have won. Like, B.I. smoked the play-in. I think they beat Paul George, and they beat the Spurs, I think it was.
They beat the Spurs first, then the Clippers. Paul George got cold. Played again.
Oh, yeah. Paul George was sick. But they came back in that game, though. Beat them.
They were down by 16, yeah.
And then smoke the Suns, like, every coverage. So I'm like, all right, bro. If he does this, Zion does this, then we got magic. He was balling out. Then you hurt his toe, I think it was. He was missed a hell of time. Then he came back with, like, 19, 24, 13. And I really got mad because I'm watching, especially this season, bro. We watching Laurie, Shea, Paolo, all these random dudes easily get a 30 ball and go home. And I'm like, all right, cool. If you B.I. and y'all losing, that's whatever, but you're not even getting your stats. Like, that's my biggest beef. Like, if you're going to be on a team that's not even good, get your numbers, bro. All that 11-game losing streak and all that, we ain't not eating that, bro. Then, now, the chips on the line, he balling, he getting his numbers. Like, that's it. That's all I want. And then he winning. Like, you got the best mid-range shot in the league, not named, like, Katie Nim. You long. Like, you can do all that. So, that's why I never understood why he was averaging 23 and, like, 6 assists. Like, people like, yo, you got to. He got to feed Larry Nance. There's no space. Like, knock it off, bro. I'm watching. Knock it off, bro. Stop it. He's 6'9 with a mid-range. So I don't care about no space, man. Then, now they play. All these games matter now. And all of a sudden, they want me to believe he just flipped the snow, bro. He can do this all the time. That's my whole beef. It would never. The people are like, oh, it's B.I. trash. Like, it's not about him being trash. I'm not about to watch a dude who I know can average 30. Average 22. For 3 weeks. That doesn't even make sense. Like, I'm not crazy. And then now he's balling. People adding me like, yeah, Reek, B.I.'s on a crazy streak. Like, all right, bro, like, just do this all the time. And then your name's going to ring even more. Like, there's no reason why. He got hurt, though, but there's no reason why Lauri Markkanen had the same amount of All-Star games as Brandon Ingram, bro. Like, can we stop playing around? His first year in the West, like, can we please, like, what are we doing? And now he's going crazy. And y'all winning. And y'all winning now. Season was over 2 weeks ago. He said, all right, fuck it. Oh, my bad. He said, forget that. Now you're going crazy. And y'all, he saved y'all season in like a week. All because he emptied the clip. Very, very simple concept, bro. Like, it's simple. Ball.
That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to segue. That's actually a perfect segue. I appreciate that, Reek. Kings, Jordan. It's a big, big jumble at the standings now. The Warriors lose a terrible game to the Nuggets without Joker.
That's a tank job, man.
Man, I watched the game. They was trying to win, bro. I watched the game. That's what that was. But the most disturbing part was they were trying to win the game. That comes off. It comes, looks even worse because they tried to win, bro. So that, yeah, like, that's why I'm a little disturbed about what I just saw. So right now, Golden State, Clippers, New Orleans, Lakers. So the Clippers and the Warriors have an extra game played at this point. So they got technically a half game up over the former two at 41 and 38. Lakers and Pelicans, 40 and 38. Golden State, home against OKC, at Sac, at Portland. Clippers, home against the Lakers Tuesday versus Portland, then at Phoenix. Pelicans, home against Sacramento Wednesday or Tuesday. Memphis on that back-to-back. Memphis always also be on a back-to-back. So we'll see who plays that game. Versus new home against the Knicks and finish with at Kings, at Minnesota. Kings, if that game's means something, we're going to have to do a playback room for that. If that game got something on the line, we're going to do a playback game, a playback for that. And then Lakers at Utah, at Clippers, which is a home game, home against Phoenix, and then home against Utah. Strength of schedule looks skewered here because teams are going to start resting guys. Guys sitting out, we don't know how to take it. Just Reek, your team is on the Eastern Conference. I know you think the Western Conference stinks. You said it many a time, but is this weird that, like, that top West four outside of Phoenix, like, I'm taking the bottom four. Like, that's kind of strange to say, but how do you feel about the play-in chase here, chasing those seeds between 6 and 9 or 6 and 10?
Hold up. I'm going to start by saying Adam Silver wins again, bro. Like, this what year is this of the play-in? This third year to play-in? Like, every year to play-in, this is a superstar in it, bro. Like, That's not a coincidence, man. He know what he's doing. But I feel like the biggest thing I took away from five to, like, let's do to 11. Ty Lue watches fake, Kings. We lost.
Yeah.
We lost the war, man. His watch is fake, man. That's first. Two, Perry missed a month twice. And they had a 6 seed. Like, the West should have stepped on them when they should have stumped them out when he got hurt. AD's back. He alive. Y'all in seventh place. And then the Pels 8, Kings Wolves 9. Cat came back, and, you know, they can't win a game. The Thunder, I don't even know what they're doing. And then the Mavs, who
off. Last thing, Reek, before you continue. Zion's playing this week from somebody I trust.
Hey, there you go. There you go, Slim.
Zion's playing this week. That's from somebody that's tapped in.
But when I'm looking at this, though, like, my main takeaway is, like, I've been saying this at the deadline, like, if the Lakers getting the dance, bro, like, they're going to the finals. Very, very simple. Like, I don't care about AD, hustle, Bron, foot. I don't care, bro. Like, these teams just aren't, like, I get with the Warriors. Like, they just won a ring. They got credit. They're 9-30 on the road, bro. Like, at some point, we got to, like, stop, like, doing the whole, like, Giannis and them, they won a chip and they didn't win next year. But they don't do stuff like this, bro. 9-30? They don't have these type of championship teams. Nobody has this at the champ team, bro, has these type of things, bro. They got a great home record. That's nice. Congrats. They just lost to the Nuggets without Jokic, who they've been losing without Jokic. Like,
nope.
The Lakers parked them down. The Lakers are one win back, who are 2-10. They got 5 new guys. Like, it's just, like, something off with that. The Clipper team, I don't know what that's about. They play Kawhi for half. set Kawhi down to be ready for next game. B.I.
That was crazy. That was crazy. That Kawhi.
Even Ty Lue didn't know what was going on. He the coach.
Yeah, Ty Lue didn't know what was going on. He was hot. Ty Lue was hot after the game.
You got the Suns. I haven't counted them because I get him a pass because KD got hurt. And he just got there. So if they do show out, then cool. But I'm not. I don't even care. And then the Wolves. Shout out Kings, Wolves, Kings. Y'all should have kept Cat on ice. He's not. He got me down, man. And Gobert County, they had it. It was all good when Cat back. And then, but I want to talk about the Mavs, bro. At the deadline when the Mavs got Kyrie Irving, bro, I said all day, like, fam, this team sucks. They did not need Kyrie Irving at all. Like, it was, they lost two wings for Kyrie, who hasn't done anything in almost a decade, fam. Like, I don't know how he's got this. He got his watch also fake. Like, I get it, but he won with LeBron James years ago. I was in high school. It was great, bro. I'm a grown man now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that team is supposed to be. They lost again today. They give up 70 at half to the Heat, who are dead last in points. It's just like, what are they doing? And then when I'm like, people are like, yo, Luke and Curry, yo, Luke got a star teammate, finals. Like, bro, I just saw Curry with Kevin Durant. They got swept, bro. Like, this isn't like a I don't understand, bro. Now they're 11. They have one more win than Utah, who we all had getting Wimby before the year, bro. Like, I don't know. The West is very bad, bro. Like, I think the Warriors want that Kings matchup. I don't know why they're going to get smoked. I think y'all get Memphis, and shout out Ja, but, you know, God bless them. Like, I don't know. I just don't see. I don't know. I feel like the West, the fact that the West allowed y'all to be trash, or Lakers be trash all year, and then bounce back. It's like, I don't know. I feel like this is a step on y'all when y'all was down, bro. There's no way else. Y'all have one. Y'all like game back from the five.
Yeah.
Y'all season was over in like January 15th or something. Nobody cared about Lakers basketball. And now y'all can easily y'all have a WCF path. Like, I don't know, bro. I don't.
King, jump back
I don't
in.
Know.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, the Golden State, people will talk about them trying to tank. I watched that fourth quarter. They were trying to win.
Yes, well, that's what made it look worse.
they were trying to get shots up. They were trying to make kill shots. Denver was actually trying their hardest to lose that game. I thought they had completely fumbled it when Brown gave up that ball. I thought they were gonna go, but, you know, another unfortunate road break for the Warriors. They lost that, but 9-40. I mean, look, bro. People are talking about SAC will be a home game for them. I'm not sure, bro. With the way, you know what I mean, with the way SAC's been and the way that energy has been over there and the way that rivalry would be in NorCal, there's no way you're gonna sit here and tell me that the Warriors and Kings is gonna be a Warriors home game for seven games. No, that's not happening, bro. And in terms of, you know, the Lakers, put the cards where they may, let the chips fall where they may. Because I don't know, man. We talk about Kyrie watch being fake, Ty Lue watch being fake. Look, I have all the utmost respect for Kevin Durant and his ability. Everybody knows I was never a person who cried when he went to the Warriors. I said, it is what it is. He gets to go wherever he wants. At the end of the day, he still has to hoop. He hooped and he won his chips. But I don't know why everybody acts like the team he's on is the boogie.
Man.
I really just don't. It's like every team he goes to, everybody's like, oh, that's the team. That's the favorite. That's the winner. And yet he hasn't won since Steph Curry. So I just don't understand. I don't understand why every team he plays on is the boogie man when they haven't won.
Some players' mystique is just OD, bro.
Like, he hasn't won since. I get the aesthetic is great. 7 foot, every handle, can shoot every shot. But it's like, bro, he hasn't won since he was with Stephen Curry, bro. Like, since Trump was the president. Like, I mean, like we have to stop this. We have to stop, like, the exaggerations, my guy. Like, if you're a team trying to win the title, you shouldn't care about Kevin Durant, Devin Booker in terms of having to go through them. because you know you have to see Giannis or Jason Tatum Celtics at the end of the road anyway. So you know what I mean? So you shouldn't be worried about Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, who has to build up chemistry and who haven't really played together this year. Like, what are we even talking? They haven't even played. I would understand they had a full year. They had great additions in the offseason. They had great vets on the bench. They were deep. It's like, oh, wow, they got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, good vet players, Chris Paul, you know, leadership and passing, DeAndre Ayton, Forrest inside. Like, I would understand it, but it's like, bro, they have Josh Okogie and Terrence Ross and T.J. Warren. You know, that one backup big is pretty good. He can shoot well, but, I mean, he's not – is it Wainwright? He's not scaring nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then Devin Booker and Kevin Durant have barely played. And Chris Paul –
That's Bubble Jordan to you, man. That's Bubble Jordan to you, man.
He is due for another injury. Like, we know this. It happens every year. He's due for another injury. So it's like, bro, come on, man. Like, if you got to play the Suns, play the – you should not be risking the play-in to avoid – the Phoenix Suns, bro. Like, you're not a championship team if that's your mentality, bro. You're just not. Like, that's just
like, I get it, bro. Like, it's Kevin Durant. Playing him is tough. He's fresh off getting sweat, bro. Like, it's not one of those. It's like, it's hard for me to, like, gauge the difference, you know, because, like, take the biases now because we swept them. But it's like, bro, none of us even cared about Aiden this year. We was all like, he's been playing all right. Book missed the whole month. They couldn't score a ball. Chris Paul, I don't know what he's doing. I don't like Monty. Like, and then they got Durant. It's like, oh, damn, the Suns. Like, no, bro. It's not one of those things, bro. Plus, like Kings just said, bro, none of them dudes even been in war together. They just linked up. This week alone, we've seen, like, Schroeder win some games. Like, the Suns' whole thing is like, oh, we might squeeze this out until KD get back. Like, they was losing. It was like, oh, KD not playing for us. Like, you didn't have KD all year, fam. Like, that – yeah. I don't like he said. I don't see why people ducking the Suns, bro.
Well, first of all, the Suns are 6-0 with Kate when KD plays, so you know they haven't lost.
Who are the opponents?
I don't know off the top of my head, but they haven't played.
I know it's like Charlotte, Nuggetless, Jokic. Like, it's
so much of me. The Mavs. When they don't have KD on the court, it is huge because they lost a lot of depth to get him. You know what I mean? So without him, I mean. That team is trash. So they're very dependent. Like, but I mean, you could say this about any team. Any team loses their top two player, dude, it's going to be tough to win a playoff series regardless. So, but if I'm the Lakers, dude, like, why do you want to get to the fifth seed and play the Suns? Because the Suns are probably the best. Them two are probably the two best teams in the West right now, if we're being completely honest, healthy. So it's like, I would want to avoid one of those teams because you could be out in the first round, at least make it to the Western Conference Finals or something, right? I'd much rather.
What does making the Western Conference Final do for LeBron James, though? Like, that doesn't do anything. It's ring or bust every year. What does that do for Kevin Durant? It doesn't do anything.
It's also matchups, though. If they tank, Lakers might get Memphis. We already see how y'all Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers and Memphis is not good. That's not a good matchup for the Lakers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would much rather, like, if you Bron and AD, well, they're not even taking because y'all still in seven. Y'all got to get this. But if I'm Bron and AD, I want to play the Kevin Durant, Aiden front court, bro. Like, KD has to go to LeBron, bro. Like, 2023. Like, you would much rather see that. Plus, already playing the Suns 2021 season. They got a little taste of the Booker, all them. That was, you know, a whole different team. But I'd rather play the Suns and get the game off and go face Jaren Jackson then. I'll tell you that if I'm AD. Like, it's just a whole different thing, bro. Plus, you Lakers, real good habits, bro. Like, win out. Like, don't mess around. Win out, bro. Don't be in the play-in. Like,
hey, Rick, you brought that point about the front court. That's actually a great point because, bro, if you look at the matchups, the Lakers, you know, Bron's not going to have to guard KD for most of the game because they're going to put Vandal on him. And the Suns don't have a way of making Vando as much of a negative as, like, the Grizzlies. Because what the Grizzlies do is the Grizzlies have no wing scorer that's dominant, so Vando's best attributes don't really matter for the Grizzlies, and they have a bunch of wing defenders that will completely ignore Vando like they did in the Minnesota series when they came back 20 points down, like, three games. Like, they will literally not guard him. So the Grizzlies will make the Lakers pay for playing Vando. The Suns really can't do that because Vando's actually a positive. His best traits are needed. He has to guard KD. But for the if you look at the Suns, who's guarding LeBron? Who's guarding AD? AD is guarded by Aiden. AD was cooking Aiden before he went down. He was cooking the Suns before he went down in that in this when the Lakers went up 2-1. The reason why Schroeder was easier to guard was that he hadn't had the role threat of AD on the pick and roll. So it was easier for the bigs to now just hone in on him and say, you're just going to have to shoot this jumper. We're not letting you get to the rim because AD wasn't there beside him to get attention. So it's like AD, if you're AD Bron, man, it's a no-brainer. You want to play the Suns front court. You want to play the Kings front court. Bro, like that's just a no-brainer to you in terms of between them and Memphis. Like, I get it. It's Kevin Durant. It's tough. But again, like I was saying, bro, Western Conference Finals, that does nothing for LeBron or Kevin Durant, bro.
Plus, you got Darvin Ham, bro.
He doesn't even do nothing for him.
This whole year has been, y'all the top defensive team. You'd much rather want to guard the corpse of Chris Paul, Book, not a slasher, Isaiah Wainwright than guard. I promise you'd rather guard them than guard Ja, Bane, JJJ. Like, you would much rather want to do that,
And also, I think the Kings made this point. Wouldn't you want to see the Suns early before they get some continuity?
That's how I felt last year against the Nets. Yeah, you know what I mean? Get them out the way in the path. If you beat KD first round, the next best player in the West after KD is carrying them, but you can't face them in the second round. Like, it's like Jokic them. Like, you would much rather beat KD first, then it's a breeze to play anybody else. You just beat Kevin Durant.
Right.
Good point.
Hey, speaking of that, if you the Lakers, though, win out, bro. Don't make – man, y'all been trash all year up and down. Win out and get some good habits, bro. Like,
speaking of the Lakers, bro, if I'm not mistaken, one of the weaknesses of the Lakers' defense is full court, right? If I'm not mistaken, Maples, one of the weaknesses of
the Lakers – They don't handle the ball pressure well all season. No, yeah.
Full court, and they're not good in transition defense. If you get the Lakers moving, that's been a problem for the Lakers. Memphis loves going up and down. Phoenix is much more of a half-court oriented team. It's just like the only reason why you're saying don't play the Suns is literally because of Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. That's like the only logic, because from an on-court perspective, it's two major concerns. But if you're talking about on the court as a basketball team, You just got to live with it, because it's like, hey, we like this matchup, we like that matchup, you know, we like this play style. Like, you just got to be like, hey, we're going to have to face you anyway. Why wait till, you know, you got some rhythm, you got some confidence going? Let's battle you when it's unfamiliar, you know, because AD and Bron are comfortable. Schroeder knows how to play with AD and Bron. You know what I mean? Like,
Bron and AD aren't scared of anybody. I mean, they've been there, they've done it.
Right.
At the end of the day, I think every team in the West would want to see the Kings in the first round.
Of course.
They shouldn't, They should not want to play the Kings, bro. As a dude, I played them twice this year. I beat them both by 30 both times. You don't want to play the Kings, bro. Like, I know they don't guard nobody. That's huge for playoffs. They never been there before. You do not want to play the Kings, bro. I promise you. Like, the way they shoot the ball, fam. Like, you don't want to play them in a playoff series, bro. Like, you don't want to Fox leading the league and clutch scoring. They hold rock to shoot threes, except the bonus. There's no, like, they, you don't want to play the Kings. Like, straight up and down. You don't want to play them. I know they can't guard nobody, though, so that's, like, it's going to be a lot of, like, 150 out of games. But they ain't no fluke, bro. Like, they've been good. They 2 wins back from Memphis for a reason. Like, that team is, they might be the best option of playing Durant, but you shouldn't pick them on purpose, bro.
This entire conversation just showed me this Lakers Pelicans Western Conference Finals for the hit like crack, man.
Oh god, here we go.
Jose Alvarado game winners on the way.
Yeah, you feel me? Just, you know, everything is proceeding as I have foreseen, as the Emperor in Star Wars would say, man. It's all proceeding according to plan.
I got a question for all three of y'all real quick.
Go ahead.
Did Embiid not playing in that Jokic game change your mind on MVP?
No, I'm already set. I would give it to Embiid. You know, that's where I was at. I'm good. That doesn't need to. It is a bad look. I think it was a bad look, but can't put that over a whole body of work, in my opinion. Hey, at least.
What's the market betting on that? I thought for me with Cosmo, honestly, I think the writers are also trying to send a message and not get. If you notice the language that's used around Joker, even in today's game while he wasn't playing, they're like, the announcer's like, look at Jokic, he doesn't care about his numbers, he just wants to win. I'm like, they've been forcing that narrative for like the past 3 weeks. I'm inclined to believe the writers are just ready to not give him the MVP. So I don't know.
Embiid's the favorite.
Didn't Mike Malone say he didn't want it? Like, Mike Malone was like, Joker doesn't even want the award. Mike Malone has alluded to that a couple times in like interviews. He just wants to win a champ. Like, just wants to win a championship. So
it's just a weird look though, bro. Because like, this Philly 5-5 their last 10 to close out the year. Jokic hasn't even been playing the last like five, like or last four. It's a whole. Giannis got smoked by 40 last game. Tatum not getting it. Like, it don't even feel like a, like the race was cool at first. Like, but once it got like,
I just think that
articles and all that, bro, don't hit the same.
I think it's that, and then so it's like, Denver's locked into one. They were so far ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
Boston doesn't care about. They feel like they can beat Milwaukee anywhere, so they don't care about that 1-2. Milwaukee feels the same way, I think, so they don't care about holding them off like that either. So they don't mind resting guys. I think it's just a matter of that. The Embiid thing, I just like for a guy that I get like, I can't believe. I think a lot of it has to do with matchups. I think they were the second best team in the East. They just happened to catch Kawhi in the second round. But the fact he hasn't been to a conference final is crazy to me.
Should it be Trey, man?
It's hurt, dude. The
Hawks series was nasty.
Yeah.
Should it be Trey, man? Wait, hold on. If he win MVP, though, do y'all think, because we know how the voters do, y'all think they're going to give him first team?
Yeah.
They have to. I think they,
I got to see him on 2-1 Joker's second team, dude. I got to see that happen.
That would be crazy if he wins the MVP and is on second team, though.
They love Jokic, fam.
They can't do that for DPOY. They can't do that for MVP.
I'm with Kings on that one. As we close out the show, gotta ask, Reek mentioned it earlier. Man, the Mavs made the Kyrie Irving trade. They were the fifth seed, falling off a cliff since then. Lost 3 in a row, 7 of the last 10. Cannot defend. Blame's going everywhere. Kyrie calling him a cancer, saying Jason Kidd has lost him. I think Luka's an all-time talent. I think he's getting kind of a pass by how some of the stuff has went. I'm of the mindset, your best player doesn't have to be an incredible defender, but he has to try. And there's too many games I turn on, and he's really not giving effort on that end. Like, today was bad till late. He actually was decent late in the game when they were trying to come back. So he's capable, obviously, when he wants to. Just what are you, starting with you, Jordan, what are your thoughts on this whole – Kyrie, Luka, Jason Kidd, Maverick situation, how it played out?
I mean,
their magic number is 1 for being eliminated. Like, it's getting that hectic right now.
Yeah, I mean, they can't defend at all. The roster is just constructed so poorly, and that's why I don't think you can blame Luka, Kyrie, or Jason Kidd, to be honest. Like, what are they supposed to do with this roster? You know what I mean? Like Reek mentioned earlier, dude, they gave up 70 points to the Miami Heat in the half. Like, they barely score 100 points a game. You know what I mean? Like, it's so bad, bro. And, you know, Mark Cuban's going to have to swallow this. And, like, they're in such a terrible situation with the cap. Not only that, but they have no assets to make any trades. And on top of that, there's no good free agents for the next 2 years. So, I don't know how they're going to rebuild this roster. They're going to have to honestly think long and hard about trading Luka, dude. Because, I mean, what do you do? He's going to ask if he has to be traded.
OKC is doing the Birdman hand rub. They wait for that to happen. Man, have you seen OKC's asset list?
Yeah, they got it's crazy.
Yeah.
Clippers, man, jokes.
Kings, how do you feel about it?
They better pray the Suns flame out. And go beg James Jones for CP3 and Ayton in a sign and trade. Like, they just have to pray. They just have to pray. They have to pray. That's literally, they have to pray, bro. If they want to keep Luka, they have to pray. If that don't happen,
OKC. OKC.
The main thing we learned from this, bro,
New Orleans.
Teams gotta stop trying to kip. They gotta stop trying to skip steps, bro. Like,
yeah, yep.
You
yep.
made the WCF. That was fire. Like, none of us had that. I had to be in the Suns, but none of us had to make the WCF no time soon. They made the WCF fire. Got a game. When they didn't play Brest, I'm like, ah, I don't know about that, fam. I watched them play Spider in the series. Like,
it's that Brunson point, bro. People don't understand. It is the they say, oh, he didn't give him an interview. It is the Mavs' fault. I hate to bring this up. We had the boy on the Mavs riders on our pod. Brunson, he told us straight up. Brunson would ask him, why you want me traded? And he would say, I tell Brunson to his face every day what I think makes him better. You don't think Brunson didn't take stuff like that to his heart? You don't think he took that to heart, that you didn't try to extend him? You wanted to trade him? You didn't think he took that to heart when he decided to burn you in the free agency? Like, that was already seeds that was planted by the Mavericks. They mismanaged it from the beginning. It's nobody's to blame.
This is my whole beef, though, bro. They offered him 40 years, 55. No. Yeah, 40, 55. He was cool with that. They was like, we gonna come back and talk. But we all know, but you got an asset. You pay him first. Then you get rid of him if it don't work out, bro. To have a guard who can give you 20 a game at 40 years, 55, told him no. Bro, once he smoked Spider in the first round, there was no chance. He was selling for no $50 million, bro. Let him leave. That's the bad sign, okay? You let him leave, swallow the pill. Luka, step it up some. There was the 5th seed, all that, whatever. Then for no reason at all, traded away Finney Smith, who's their best wing, and D-Wing, their second best wing, for Kyrie Irving, when you didn't need scoring at all, like, it's like one of the things like, oh, Luka, we want to keep you here. Look, we're getting you help. Like, you didn't need that, though, bro. Like, that was the last trade they had to make, major trade. You get there, boom. And then the reason why I say I do give them blame, they lost to the Hornets twice this week. Back
man,
to back.
Man, those games were disgusting.
Like, they couldn't guard Dennis Smith Jr. This is like, I don't understand. Then you got Josh, you got, when Luka got hurt, it was Josh Green and Hardy balling out. Now they don't play anymore. So I'm watching, today I watched the Bill McGee have to hit a clutch free throw to go to OT. Like,
JaVale McGee was the best player on their team today, too.
Bro, against the Hawks. Yeah. Like, it's just bad, bro. Like, they made Luka play a back-to-back today, and we saw why he doesn't play them. Like, it's just like, fam, the whole thing.
Bro, they
I
signed
never saw a team. They missed every
JaVale.
Single step, bro. The Porzingis trade, the Tim Hardaway Jr. contract, Christian Wood's contract, JaVale McGee's contract, letting Brunson go. Like, you got Luka Doncic, bro. The hardest thing in sports is getting a superstar. And they messed that up having a superstar.
Yo.
There's no, like, you can't make that up, bro. The Bucks, they got Giannis. If they even mess up a little bit, there's going to be something that can save them, bro, to keep, you know, keep them afloat. Tatum, Kawhi over there. Oh, every team in the league with a superstar is staying afloat. But then you trade for Kyrie Irving and then your team can't win a game anymore? Like, come on, man.
I think the worst thing these teams do is they get rid of everybody in the organization who will challenge or push back against a superstar. And I think that's what Dallas makes some moves in the front office with people Luka didn't get along with.
Nelson.
Carlisle, if he didn't get along. I think that, you know, that's not necessarily the way to go about it. You got to keep – if you got basketball people you trust – you got to keep them in the building regardless. Like going back to Cleveland, LeBron and Griff didn't see eye to eye all the time. You know what I mean? But I think there was respect there for him for his basketball acumen. You just got to have basketball people you trust, and you got to let them know, like, hey, we're going to try to build around you, but you're not going to acquiesce to everything. You know what I mean? Like, somebody got to tell Luka, like, you got to get off ball more. You got to try on defense more. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know who in the organization is going to do that. Because they're scared of him leaving.
That's why I didn't understand, like, the Kyrie trade, because we all know Luka's strengths, what they are, whatever. We know his weaknesses. If you get – you're supposed to get Luka with somebody who can combat what he's not good at. But then getting Kyrie Irving made it like a crutch for real. Like, Luka don't have to – why Luka got guard now? If you got Kyrie Irving, he's not guarding by either. So it's like, you didn't gain nothing from doing that, bro. Like, with the Bucks, when Giannis like want to like sag off and like play lazy, Brooklyn don't let him do that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't allow him to have no off night, whatever. Drew all them, like, they don't play that stuff. We got a smart Draymond for the Warriors. Like, the Mavs signed Christian Wood on purpose. No, I mean, they traded Christian Wood on purpose to start after paying JaVale McGee.
They signed JaVale for three years, $21 million, bro. Like, JaVale got a crazy deal for $3 years, bro. 15. That's crazy. Go ahead, King.
They played JaVale McGee off the floor in that series, bro, and signed him.
It's a good point. I think Luka, I won't say much on Luka because I think, you know, there's been comments about what he's dealing with off the court, some issues I think some people brought up with his mom, a time of like a money issue with his mom, akin to like how Kobe dealt with some of the things with his parents. So, you know, there might be some issue there. I will say you have a great point in terms of getting rid of people who challenge your star. You see how bad that's going for the Hawks, right? Like, you see how bad, you know, turn to the Mavericks is going bad for them too. I wanted to bring up, because you brought up LeBron, I think somebody, who was it? I think Maples, you the one who brought up LeBron in Cleveland with Griffin, but even before the Griffin, you know, the first thing, like, who his first coach, LeBron could easily been a guy who filled the stat sheet, never developed into a two-way guy. Who was his first coach? Mike Brown. You know how Mike Brown is defensively. You know what he demands for from an effort standpoint. He was playing LeBron heavy minutes, having him say, hey, you have to play both ends, not just one end. You got to play both ends. We need that from you because you got to be great. Then you go to the Miami Heat. He wanted Spo fired. What did Pat Riley say? You got to make this work.
Yeah.
He nowhere. You got to make this work. He knows what he's doing. You got to make this work. Rest was history. D-Wade said the same thing. Hey, Bron, I play with Spo. He knows his stuff. Let's get it. Let's sit down. Let's make this work. You need guys who are gonna come to these guys and say, "Hey, this is wrong. You're good enough to do it the right way. Let's do it the right way." If you're gonna appeal to everything that they want, at some point, it's like when it inevitably goes wrong because these guys don't know anything because they're like under 25 and they're just for the most part, they're getting by with the talent that they've had and accumulated. It's like when it inevitably goes wrong, how can you solve it? You don't have the pieces in place to solve it. There's nobody there you can go to and be like, hey, man, this isn't working. What should we try? And they're going to be able to tell you. You got rid of them. They don't exist. So now you're just mediocre until you can get those people back. So it's like when you're building around young stars, it's one of those things where you want to have a synergistic relationship, but you got to be able to hold them accountable. I'm interested to see how that's going to be doing. That's how that's going to be done with Wemby. I know it's a side topic, but he's talking about he don't want to play center at all in any capacity. You know, that type of attitude, I get it. You want to protect your body, develop, but it's going to have to be somebody who's going to tell these guys, hey, bro, you want to be the best you can be. You want to win championship. You want to play basketball at the highest level in terms of competing. You're going to have to do these things. Somebody has to be there. Say that.
Great. And man, that's a great place to end that quickly before we get out of here. Kings, you want to touch in? That was the NCAA. We mentioned earlier, the NCAA women's tournament was off the chain this year. Record viewing, record attendance. Man, the best in women's sports, man.
Great game.
Championship game, great game. Andrew Reese and them girls, Bayou Barbie held it down. Beat Caitlin Clark, Iowa. Man, just the basketball, just a great basketball game. I think LSU's athleticism, and they had that crazy shooting first half, extremely high. They had shot like 21% outside the key for the tourney. They had like a five-minute stretch in the second quarter where they just didn't miss. So, like, extremely – that's a funny NCAA tournament, one game, you know, high variance. That'd be it, but – just extremely, extremely, you know, great for the NCAA women's basketball to have Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark on that stage going crazy. How y'all feel about that game, man? I loved it, man. I had a great time watching that. That was high level hoop, man.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was fun, man. Great hoops, inside out from with LSU, outside shooting with Iowa. It was just. It was sad to see what the top point was after the game.
Man.
not even about basketball anymore. It got to the point where, you know, obviously we had the MAGA group going off, but even now it's like Talking Point Central now, Think Piece Central now. People are living vicariously through these girls now. It's sad, but at the same time, it's to be expected. I mean, we just have last 2 months somebody try to tell us racial bias isn't really a thing in the sports world. Then we just have that. So then people try to lie to us 2 months ago as if that's not a real thing. Fast forward to the game, we see people talking about she's classless, she's this, that, doing the same thing that the other person they're cheering for was doing in the tournament, talking about we didn't come to see you, we came to see Caitlin. Who's the we? Who's the we here? WNBA, watch a women's college basketball, love Angel Reese. Angel Reese was the most known player I knew coming into the season because of the magazines. Obviously, I followed Coach Rich. You know, Rich was hyping it up. So I knew Reese pretty much all year coming in. So I wasn't shocked to see LSU in the championship game. Even though I didn't watch women's college hoops all year, it's like I wasn't shocked because I was seeing the buzz. So to see these people make these comments, it's like what does that show you? Where sports is, where you know, the talking points are, how they view people, trying to code in language so we can't see what's going on. Like, right. Oh, there's no way that they would vote for Joker because he's a white player. Like, there's no way. There's no way. Look at today and tell me there's no way. Like,
everybody loves Steve Nash, man.
Hey, don't give, you know what? Me and Jordan will extend this show extra 25 minutes.
This my thing, though. To piggyback off
talking about those MVPs.
Hey, no, that Steve Nash thing is funny because literally he was 100 points away from going three straight, bro. He was literally 100 points away from going three straight. Like, he literally almost happened, bro.
The whole thing is nasty, bro, because you got, like, it's, I don't even want to blame the Kaylin girl because she obviously, I don't know her, so I doubt she racist. But like,
she didn't care. They asked her about it. She didn't care. She was like, "Oh, that." She's like, "That's the." She was like, basically, on some of the game is the game type ish. You know what I mean?
It sucks though because that, like King said, they're living through her. Because like, we love Breonna Stewart, we love Paige. It's like, it's plenty of white women hoopers who we all huge fans of, Kelsey Plum. So it's like, they like, we hate white hoopers, bro. Like, so for them to. I guarantee you the bars to all them. They don't know who Caitlin. Come on, bro. Like, it's not even a thing. Also, I want to say, she's not the GOAT, bruh, at all. She's not the GOAT, bro. Great season, Curry stuff. Stop it, bro. We saw. She's not the GOAT, fam. That's, I don't want to hear that GOAT talk for no. We didn't see. Stop it, bro. Candace Parker alive today. Like, we saw plenty of GOATs, fam.
I think Shamik.
Not doing that.
I don't know, y'all. I just a little ahead of y'all. But Shamika won like four. Holzclaw won like four natties, bro.
Bro, yeah. Cheryl Swoop. She like, no, man. I don't want to hear about Kaylin. Sorry, bro. She's got Todd Clark. It's cool and all that. No, like,
I'm interested to see how she translates players with, you know, skilled players that's on her level. Like, it's obvious he's a notch above everybody. She's the only one not really overwhelmed by LSU. LSU is not new. Defensively, but I'm interested to see how she translates when she's in the WNBA playing with similar level talent. Like, that's gonna be real fun. And they can run her off pin downs and have other good players around her. Like, that's gonna be fun to watch. Angel's gonna be fine. Angel's gonna come out the big gate getting like 15 and 10, bro.
Yeah.
She's gonna rebound off the rip.
She's so long, dude. She's just like a brother, man.
Right, yep.
I'll take over Grant Williams today, man, right now. I'd be fine too. Come on, she could play. She can give me 15. I'm playing Luke Cornett. She can give me 15 minutes. What's she, 6'3", 140?
Jordan, before we get out of here, Jordan, before we get out of here tomorrow, you've been pushing San Diego State hard all tourney. Kudos to you. What's your play for tomorrow? What's your prediction? What's the gambling tidbit you want to put out there? Tell us something on the way out, man.
All right, so first of all, UConn is 0-6 this season in games decided by 6 points or less. So when they win, they blow teams out. The line's 7.5. We're going to San Diego State Aztecs plus the points. I think this is going to be a lot closer. I think the length and athleticism and physicality of San Diego State is something that UConn hasn't seen in this tournament. Closest team to that they've played is St. Mary's, but San Diego State is much more athletic, longer than St. Mary's, and they're deeper. That's a problem with St. Mary's. They weren't deep. They only go seven deep. I think Lede, Mensah, and Agapa Rope, just way too much athleticism and length. I think it's going to give UConn a lot of problems. UConn is the number one offensive rebounding team in the country, but San Diego State is up there with them. Like, this is the closest team they faced like this. Now, obviously, San Diego State's biggest issue, they can't score. They really struggle to score sometimes. Matt Bradley played very well last game. I also think that Dutcher, he kind of unlocked something, started running some offense through Jaden Lede, which really started working at the end of that game against FAU. Give me the Aztecs plus 7.5 tomorrow. And I also think they're going to win this game.
Ooh, good call. Make sure you follow Teflon Rick 1 on Twitter. Make sure you follow RIP Kingsbro on Twitter. Make sure you follow Jordan Rules TSP. Make sure you follow myself, JJMables55 underscore MST. Subscribe, like the pod, give us feedback. Man, NBA season jumping next week is going to be crazy. We're probably going to have bands on this week. He heard what Reek said last time about KD going to the Suns. He's like, nah, I got to pull up and get my leg back. So Bansky will be on this week. We got a special midweek edition coming to y'all this week. It's going to be fire. You guys be safe, and we are out of here.